right. That was awesome. Thank you so much, Lynette. Our second speaker today is Kenny Ali, and we'll see what he's got to say.
I'm an addict named Kenny. And before I start, first I want to take this time to thank God, as I understand Him, for getting us here safely. Okay. I also want to thank God for blessing us with His grace, with His love, and with His mercy. Because today I know that without God's grace, without God's love, and without God's mercy, we would all be in trouble. I also want to thank the convention committee for asking me out to come down and share. This is my first time here, I believe, and it's wonderful. I asked to speak to read from the speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. And again, I just want to say I want to thank the committee for asking me out, right? And thank you, sis, for setting the tone. I want to know, let me get you, who the fuck came up with this topic? That's what I want to know. You know what I mean? I got a friend, like 7 years ago, he was sharing somewhere, and, how we say some real nice-ass shit, And this guy said, he was talking about some shit about a woman and stuff, and he threw that shit out there about, you got to be careful because, if you're not careful and you don't do what you're supposed to do, yesterday we'll call a day and want to be tomorrow. But he ain't mean that shit to be no topic. I hear what I'm saying. He ain't mean that to be no topic. And I know that he didn't because I speak to him damn near every week. And I know he ain't mean it to be no topic. So William S., with his brilliant self, he's the guy that's the programming chair for this. He likes to say a little clever stuff, so he's going to throw this stuff in there as a topic. But what I know is all I have is my story. That's it. I don't care how things are dressed up. All I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope of recovery. You know what I'm saying? And next month, on May 22nd, I'm going to have 15 years in this program. And I'm going to have 15 years. They say if you speak it and you claim it, it's yours. I know I'm going to have 15 years because the type of life that I'm living today, using, has no part in it. But what from yesterday don't I want to be in my life right now? You know what I mean? Now, I'm going to share something with you, right? I came into this process fresh out of prison in 1991. I came here because my PO, I was trying to avoid going back to jail. I had just left jail. I went home under house arrest, and And it's a certain amount of discipline that's necessary for you to be under house arrest. Because you have to be your own prison guard. You can't go nowhere. I'm telling you, you're in the house, and you have to confine yourself at a certain time. You have to be in. They let me out on the street. I did like 18 months, and they let me out on the street on a sunny day with a bracelet on my arm, on my leg, and the guys came, and they hooked up the little thing to the phone and the thing, and then they said, "See you later." I said, "What?" They say, "See you later." And they left. So now they left. Now here's a guy who had 27 years active addiction. I done did what I wanted, how I wanted to, who I wanted to do it with. You're looking at a guy that was the epitome of no discipline. And you're going to put a bracelet on his arm, on his leg, after being in jail for some time. I ain't smoked crack in a minute. I ain't shot no dope. And you're going to leave and it's sunny outside. Now, this got to be a setup. It got to be a setup. Right? But anyway, I commenced to do what I've always done. You know, I looked out the window. They told me, they say, if you set your foot off the front step, the beeper starts going off. So I used to be in my mom's joint, and I used to have one leg in the house, right? And I'd be talking to my squad. "Yo, I'm home now. What's up?" So they would come on past, and boy, you know. And then before you know it, they brought a couple things past, and I started doing what I was doing. About a month of that, I just said, "To hell with the house piece," because after being in the house a month and you being teased, because I can't really get into my full job like I want to, I'm being teased. So I'm like, "Look, man, the hell with this. I just left the house." So when I went to see Mr. Kelly, that was my PO, he said, "Listen, man," it was on a Friday evening, he said, "What are you doing? You know what I mean? You done told me that you want to do something right. What's happening here?" I said, "Man, look." He said, "Look, you're going back to jail. So what? Send me back." Now he's looking at a plumb fool, because nobody likes to go to jail. But part of my job is jail is part of it. You know what I mean? Jail is part of it. Jail helped build your rep out in the street. You understand what I'm saying? You know, because, you know, ain't nothing like coming home and people like, "Damn, where you been, homie?" They try to break a joke, man, but you know, I'm back. I'm going to do this thing, you know what I mean? You know, I listen to some of the stuff that I used to say, and I think of some of the stuff that I've been and stuff, and it scares the hell out of me because I was a bona fide fool, right? But, you know, ain't nothing like coming home. Like, you know, just down, I did it from the muscle. You know, I ain't want nobody to come visit me, you know, because I be trying not to think about the streets. You know, all that old nonsense stuff, right? So Tim said, "Mr. Kelly," I'm going to call him Mr. Kelly because he deserves to be called Mr. Kelly. He said, "Go back home, man, and if you want to go back to jail, come see me Monday morning, and you be on the first bus back." Okay, so you give a guy a weekend to think about going back to jail. I ain't the brightest crayon in the box, but I ain't the dullest one either. You understand what I'm saying? So Monday morning, I'm like, "Yo, man, I ain't really feel like going back to jail." You know what I mean? So he sent me to a spot. I got clean. And through that spot, I got guided to these rooms. When I came into these rooms, I'm sitting here, and it was a room full of suckers to me, right? Because I'm coming fresh out of jail. All I knew was streets, right? And I'm looking at y'all, and I'm listening to some of this stuff, and I'm saying, "This is some corny. These some corny behind people, man. What am I doing here?" Right? And You're looking at a guy who at the end of his road, I was pissing in jars and shitting in a bathtub. I wasn't eating and I wasn't washing. I was prostituting myself to men and I was stealing everything under the sun from my family. Because at the end of the road, I was a bona fide bitch. And I can only speak in certain terms. I can't curb language. I can't do it. I'm not going to even try to because I speak about what I suffer from the way I know how to speak about it. You understand what I'm saying? I was a bona fide bitch. At the start of my journey, I was a gangster. At the end of my road, I sold my pistol. And I was being slapped up and down the block by young boys that I watched grow up in this thing. You understand what I'm saying? They were slapping because I copped from so-and-so and not them. I was a bona fide bum. I felt like a pile of shit with a face on it. You understand what I'm saying? And I looked at, and I came in here after going through all of that. And thought that y'all was a bunch of suckers, and what am I doing here? Right? But I give honor to the experienced members, the members that were here before me, because they were practicing a certain level of recovery. They were carrying a certain message that reached an addict like me. When I walked into the rooms May 22nd, 1991, it hit me. In the midst of my fear and my doubt and not knowing what I was listening to, it hit me. One of them said, "Is a brother, I love him, I love him. He's still in Philadelphia, he got like 27 years clean." He said, "They'll never forget where you come from." He said, "Let the story that brought you here keep you here." He said, "You don't have to come here and compare your recovery to anybody else's because you don't have to come here and compare your story to nobody else's. Nobody else's. Let the worst story you're ever going to hear in these rooms is your own because you lived it." And then he said one thing that grabbed me. This is what he said. He said, "If you forget where you come from," he said, "you are doomed to repeat." Now, I ain't the brightest crayon in the box. I done said that already. I didn't have a college degree. You understand what I'm saying? But it don't take no rocket scientist to kind of get in touch. Because one of the things that the experienced members taught me when I came here is when you hear the message, just keep looking at yourself. Just keep looking at you. When you hear people talking, just keep reflecting on your story. You understand what I'm saying? And I came here and I said, "Listen, at the end of my road, I was at 25th and Cecil B. Moore Avenue. I found myself living on the second floor front bedroom of an abandoned house. At the end of my road, I was in my 30s. And I found myself daily having to position myself over a tub full of shit. The house had no lights. The house had no water. The house had no heat. I was sleeping on sheets that was as black as me. My roommates were the rats and roaches. And I called this home." Hear what I'm saying? My mama lived right up the street. She never took the key from me. I could always go to mom's. But I called that home. And I accepted that. I used to stick an empty set of works in my arm and draw blood in it and squirt it all on me. And my mother had became ways and means to get more. They say we don't dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, but I got to tell you where I come from. Listen, to hell with you. I got to keep reminding myself where I come from. So I came, and the experienced members, the message allowed me to come back the next day. Pick a seat and not a speaker. Just sit. Just sit. They started saying stuff like, "Stay away from people, places, and things." I came. They talked about getting a sponsor. I didn't know what the sponsor piece was all about. I didn't understand it. But all I knew was my life was starting to get a little better. How do I know that? Real simple. I remember having a little bit of change in my pocket, something like $6.74, some old piece of shit like that. Go to sleep. Wake up next day. Still have $6.74. Real simple stuff. This ain't no miracle getting thing here. Real simple shit. I remember buying an outfit. Waking up next day, and my outfit is still there. I remember walking down the street, coming up on 90 days, and walking past the same corners that I did all my dirt with. And daily, as I kept coming to the meetings, daily, the fear, I can feel it dropping off of me, man, like if you take these clothes off. I mean, it was just coming off. And I started to feel a little better about myself. I started to feel a little better. I just kept coming because I knew I had tapped into something here I was always looking for. So as I kept coming, first thing, I thought that this was an extension of the rehab that I came through, right? So I was able to identify it from a drug point of view. But then as I kept coming, and the days turned into weeks, and the weeks turned into months, and the keychain started coming up, and I looked up, and I had 6 months, and then it went to 9, and then a year, and then sudden such. I looked up, and when the drugs was gone, I started seeing that the quality of my life was no better. I still felt like a pile of shit with a face on it here. I still was a man of no substance. I still was a man, I didn't know who I was. I still, when I got with you, Ty, I was a certain type of person. When I got with Mel, I was a certain kind of person. When I'm with Keith, I'm a certain kind of person. I still didn't know who I was and wasn't satisfied and secure in Kenny the man. I still didn't know who that was. Been through steps. It's one thing of going through steps, it's another thing of living steps. I understand now that the step process is not just a thing that you go through. It's levels of maturity, spiritual maturity. And it doesn't happen just like that. As you grow, as you live, as you experience, as you are offered opportunities to do A or B, and you choose to do B because you've always done A, and it always took you somewhere, and you choose, your spirit grows. You start to develop another character. You start, listen. I came in here, right, and did all of the things that I wanted to do. I went back to school, got a little piece of degree. I came in here, you know what I mean, started feeling good about myself. Asked one of y'all girls to get married, said yeah. My mom had a stroke, dealt with that, didn't use, got married, didn't use, had a baby here, wonderful stuff. All you got to do is stay clean. And one thing I found out is that my appetite grew. My appetite for good things grows naturally. And then you start just doing some stuff. One day you wake up, you want to address your credit background. One day you find out that you've been working on the same job. If the job ain't working out, you go get something better. And that stuff just happens. I look up one day, I'm sitting in a bank signing to be a homeowner. I mean, all that type of stuff. Coming to meetings and I'm Mr. Responsible. You know what I mean? Police ain't put the cuffs on me in years. So I'm living life. You know what I mean? I'm starting to feel good about myself. I'm praying. I'm doing X, Y, and Z, and I'm talking God and all this stuff. And in 2005, February of 2005, I woke up one day. No, actually, it happened about a couple years before that. I woke up, and I wasn't happy with everything that I had. The marriage wasn't working. I found myself sleeping on one end of the bed, and she had the other. I found myself every time I went home, I stuck the key inside the house, my whole body would go through something. We were doing more fighting than anything else. But when you see us outside, oh, y'all look good together. And we just stepping and we just rolling. We got the two cars, latest model, house good, the kids looking great. You know what I mean? Always got a couple hours in my pocket, and I'm talking big shit. And I'm just stepping. How are you? Great. Thank God. I'm living life on life terms. I found every reason in the book to stay home. Woke up one day, I said, oh, it ain't about me. I made a commitment to God. It's about the family. You know what I mean? God said for better or for worse. You know, you just do. And you just keep on going. And daily, I find myself slipping down this tube of unhappiness. Happiness. My world inside of, just like an active addiction, when my whole world has shrunk to the second floor front bedroom, this, my house, was shrunk to a corner of my couch, where I would come in and just sit right on the couch, hit the remote, and I'd sit there. My daughters would run up to me, Daddy, and I'd be happy to see him. And I'm a good father. Don't get me wrong. I'm an excellent father. You know what I mean? And I would hug him and see him. But deep in my spirit, it was like, hold up. When do you be happy? Is it a sin? Are you wrong for wanting to be happy? Is something wrong with you? Because you woke up one day and you said, this ain't working. February of last year, I got the courage. And I told her, I said, honey, on March 1st, I'm leaving. Being who she is, she said, March 1st? Why wait for March 1st? Sounds like a good idea to leave right now. Because what I found out is when you stay in something and when you ain't happy, you make the other person a prisoner also. They ain't happy. You ain't happy. It's two jokers like Gladys Knight. Nobody wants to be the first to say goodbye. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying? And you just sitting there, and you got to stay to hold her, and y'all two just looking at each other like, I can't stand you. Sex became a job. Sex became just something to do. Pop, 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 pop. No, let me tell you the condition that I would take myself to and accept it. I did it when I was shitting over a bathtub. I did it clean up to a year and some change ago. You talking about yesterday calling today wanting to be tomorrow. Nigga, you ain't got no balls. Take this. We're not talking to each other correctly. When you love somebody, when you care for somebody, you become friends and you say stuff like, good morning. Yes. How you doing? How you feel? Even in disagreements, you still disagree with love. If you argue, you're still able to love, and the friendship that you have with each other is the rubber band, is the thing that brings you, snaps you back and say, how you feeling? Maybe I was messed up yesterday. Just friendship alone. But when you can't stand each other, you live like I was living. You don't speak. An imaginary line is drawn down your bed. You go to bed and you don't touch. The bedroom becomes real cold. So I said, I'm out. So it was a snowy night in February. I'm packing my bags. My kids crying. I'm crying. My wife going through what she going through. She crying, cussing, and I mean, we going through. It's just a ball of confusion in the middle of the night, and I'm gone. And from that point, what I found out is this. When you make a decision to do something for you, every decision has consequences. And it may not be consequences that you like. But how do you deal with principles when there's a target on your back? When everything people are doing or somebody does is something to hurt you. How do you deal with principle? That's the part of yesterday that I don't want to come back in my life today and want to be tomorrow. I don't want to be that vindictive. Bitch, you did what? Oh, I got to get you back. Let me tell you. I ran into this wonderful sister, and she was from out of town, and we started seeing each other, and that was my medication. You know, when Philly got hot, go up the road. Man, you know, I felt the friendship because we were both going through the same thing. I felt it. The love, it was there. But it was the same, I was the same coward ass nigga that I was years ago. When it's drama, I'm out. I put up with so much, but I gotta go. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I'm being dragged through court. I'm being put in jail for child support. I'm being tortured with seeing my kids and all that stuff. You know what I mean? I'm going through it. But when time comes, when it gets too hot, they're going up the road here, man. Chill out for a minute. You understand what I'm saying? So, actually, my wife said I got 10 more minutes. I mean, it's 5:20. It's 5:20. I got 10 more minutes. You know what I mean? So, because I'm trying to share something, and I need to complete what it is that I'm sharing. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm like stuck in this thing. I'm stuck, right? And I'm loving this woman out here, and then I'm running from my stuff down here. And then one day I'm in Philly, and something said, "Nigga, you got to stand up and deal, man. You got to deal. Listen, I got a vindictive wife on this end of the coin. I mean, she just coming at me with everything under the sun." She told me face to face, "Please keep making meetings because you ain't seen the end, the worst in me yet." Yeah. This motherfucker told me, she said, "I'm out to destroy you."
Help somebody.
She's coming to my business and she's ripping it apart. I got to stay home like I'm hiding because I don't want to knock her the fuck out. What I'm saying, my every move today is based on not using and not placing myself in a situation that's unhealthy for me. So I got to come with different, like, bam, oh, damn. I got to be on the defensive a lot. I had to tell the sister I was seeing, like, yo, I got to back up. Yo, I got to deal with this. I got to put my house in order. I got to stand up and deal with. You can't be in a war hiding. You got to deal. I'm telling you, you can't be in a war, right? And you're hiding. You can't be in a boxing ring running behind the ref. Everywhere the ref go, you ducking behind the ref. You know what I'm saying? At some point, you got to stand up and you got to go toe to toe with life. So I'm sitting there, right? And I'm like, good God. I'm talking about my daddy told me, I heard friends say, nothing like a woman scorned. I've never experienced that. I've never seen love go from love to hate. I've never seen somebody who knows how important I am to our child don't care if I'm in jail or not. I've never seen that. Then I got to practice the principles. I gotta understand rather than be understood. I gotta look at her and say, that's her immature way of showing how much she loves me and how much she knows that she blew something good. So I gotta understand why you acting like an asshole, but I can't slap you. I gotta show my daughters what a man is under fire. I gotta not cop under fire. I gotta continue to sit back, and nobody may understand the pains that I go through. But I got like a couple people who I'm able to hold on to and cry on and put my, you know, me and my man, I lay on his shoulder sometimes and say, Keith, she doing it to me. He don't try to answer me. Yeah. All he do is be that strength and that shoulder there for me when I need it. So I got to try and deal with all of these things with principles. That's hard for a joker who prides himself in being a person who have no discipline. I still like to think I'm a gangster. I still like to think I'll pull a trigger. You know what I mean? I still got friends. I still got to think like I can make her disappear. You know, those thoughts come. Yesterday, whispering. You know, oh, you got a girl. You know, if I try to make her disappear, I'm not one you're going to read about in the paper who happened to go talk to a federal agent that was undercover. No, that wouldn't happen to me. Because I know who to talk to. But I still got to stand. And I still got to be a man under fire, because I still got to believe in, at some point, this is going to be over. Then I can't drag nobody in this. I got to deal with all of this all by myself. Why? Because this is my story. August last year, 2 days before my birthday, I'm in jail. I'm sleeping on the floor in the county jail. I'm trying to figure out how the hell did I get here. I didn't do nothing. I forgot, Ty, about the gnats in the corner stall bathroom. When you piss in the county jail, it's 1,000 of them little son of a bitches that flies up. And just, I forgot about that. I forgot what it was like being in this little ass room with 60 people. And everybody right here. And everybody got a mask on. She did all that to me. And then when I came home, she said, can we talk about getting back together? You feel what I'm saying? I got to deal with life on life terms with the 12 steps. That's not the easiest thing. But guess what? At the end of the day, I'm able to look at me and I feel all right for who I am and what I've done. So my 10 minutes is up. So I'm going to graciously pass it over to the chairperson. And all I can say is, listen, man, William, thank you for being... That's William S. right there with the black thing on. And he the one that came up with this brilliant-ass topic. So let's thank William. All right. Hey, William. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot, y'all.